Welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast, where we are breaking free from the chains of our past and rising to lead extraordinary lives. I believe it's time we ditch the rules of this world that are keeping us enslaved in the grind, playing from behind, and instead opt in to a conscious and strategic upgrade, one that is founded in timeless principles that can only be accessed through the power of the heart. So if you've been craving deeper, more meaningful relationships, vibrant bodies full of life force and true prosperity in all arenas, this podcast is for you. My name is Christine Jewell. I'm a high performance coach and faith-based mentor, and together we will awaken the king or queen you are destined to be so you can experience the fullness of life that's waiting for you. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to the show. It is Christine Jewell, and we are here with the Breaking Chains podcast. I have an awesome interview lined up for y'all today. Awesome interview. Such a beautiful soul this woman is. Her name is Jamie Dahl. Jamie is a breast cancer survivor. She is the author of the book, I Have Two Words for You. Her impactful story of breast cancer has been a source of hope and strength for so many individuals going through their own trials. In addition, from being an author, I know Jamie has an amazing, diverse background of life experiences, from being a professional dancer on national tour in New York City to being in the fashion industry. And alongside with her husband, she's a co-founder of Adult and Teen Challenge of Western Wisconsin, a local faith-based residential treatment center for women struggling with addiction. There is so much more. I'm going to let Jamie tell us a little bit more, a lot more of her backstory, because it is just going to be piercing and moving. But thank you, Jamie, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
So good. Okay. We met at a perspective event through a mutual acquaintance mentor, my mentor anyways, Stacey Wallace, and we were at Perspective, which was a beautiful event, and it was beautiful, raw, real, lots of people sharing their stories.
Yes. Yeah. We met there, back in Florida a few weeks ago, and, just connected, and, it was an amazing time just really learning about all these wonderful people who are then, you know, learning from Stacey Wallace, who's an incredible mentor and coach. Yep. I've known her for many years and very grateful for her and her family. But yes, we connected and just chatted a little bit. And I think what I loved about that event is learning about other people and other people's stories. And I think that that's really important. And you know, with my story is one, as you mentioned, Christine, is breast cancer is something that is part of my story. I always like to say it doesn't define who I am. But it is a chapter in my life story. And just to go back a little bit in regards to that, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017. I was a busy mom, busy wife, just kind of doing all the things, checking all the boxes, and felt like, you know, at that time of my life, I thought nothing like this could ever probably happen to me, because you always think it's that other person that's going to have that horrible diagnosis or have that terrible thing happen to them. And so I really was just completely blindsided by this diagnosis. I was actually in my kitchen and just somehow brushed up against my side and felt a lump in my right breast. Wow. And I thought, well, of course you go thinking, well, that's just nothing. You know, it's really probably nothing. And like, I think most women and wives and busy mothers do is you put it off because you're taking care of so many other people. You put off taking care of yourself. And so that's what I did. I went a few months without doing anything about it. And it wasn't until a friend of mine who was my same age and in the same life situation as I was told me that she had just been diagnosed. And so all the red flags started going off for me. And I went in and got it checked out. But even at that point, when I'm laying on this table getting an ultrasound, I'm still in my mind running through all the to-do lists. Okay, after I leave here, I'm going to run to Target. And then I've got to go pick up these for this thing for the kids. And just kind of thinking, this is just a blip in my radar as I'm getting through my day today. But then all of a sudden, the doctor stops and she says, Jamie, I want you to take a look at something that I see on the screen. And so I looked back at the screen and she pointed out this little white mass. And she said, I'm not really sure what this is. I knew she knew what it was.
Yeah.
But she said, I'd like to get a biopsy. And so in that moment, here I am in this dark room by myself. My phone is locked in, a locker somewhere. I can't even call my husband. I'm completely alone and just flooded with these feelings of dread and fear. And it's just the most humbling moment, I
Yeah.
think, that you could go through. So, but the beautiful thing, and I wanted to quick touch on this, is even in this incredibly scary moment, the woman that was sitting at the desk, she was a mammography tech. When everyone rushed out to go get all the instruments to do the biopsy, she turned around and she said, "Can I pray with you?"
Oh, so good.
And
Come
it
on.
just, I said, "Yes, please." And she said this beautiful prayer. I didn't know her. I didn't know that she was a believer. She just blessed me in such a moment of chaos, and she gave me such peace. And I'll never forget that moment. So going on from
So
there,
beautiful.
yeah, 5 days later, I did get that phone call that said, yes, you have breast cancer. And that led me down a road of 4 very difficult rounds of chemotherapy that does what you would imagine chemotherapy would do. I lost all my hair, my energy, my strength, was very, very sick. And then after I got through those 4 rounds, then I had a double mastectomy with a reconstruction at that point.
Wow. So much. I love that God sent you just the comfort that you needed in that moment.
Yes.
It's just such a reminder for all of us. But that story is so piercing. So you had a double mastectomy, then you had a complete reconstruction after that. So, okay, after the 4 rounds of chemo, was that it? Were you clear after that?
I was. And again, another God moment. When I got the phone call from the doctor, it was actually from a nurse to let me know that they had done all the tests and that I was cancer free. Her name was Joy, the woman that called me. And so I say those couple of small little things, and not small, they were big to me at the time, but just
Huge.
to show that anytime you're going through something difficult, God is always there. He's always in the details. He's walking you through these incredibly dark times. It says that we will go through the valley of the shadow of death, but to fear no evil, for I am with you. And that is exactly how I felt. I was literally felt like I was in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. But those are just two examples. I could list hundreds of times when God just showed me his love for me, his faithfulness and his presence. And he just really helped walk me through this really hard time.
So good. Okay, so that was my question, was obviously it's hard for anybody who's you're in the humanness, you're in your humanness, you're going through this thing. And I know you have such a beautiful story on the other side of this too. But how was your spirit during that time? How was your spirit? How was your marriage? Like, you still had everything going on. Like, did you actually slow down? Was it a wake-up call? Like, I want to know what was going on in Jamie's mind and heart, while you were going through that process, because that's a massive wilderness season. I mean, some people think they're going through the wilderness, and I don't want to diminish anybody's experience because, but this perspective is everything, truly. So, talk to us about like your state while you were going through that wilderness season.
It really was like being in a train and hitting a brick wall, right? And it stopped me in my tracks. And like you said, to your question, did it slow me down? Did it not? It absolutely did. I mean, it took me to a
Good.
screeching halt.
Good.
And there was such a beauty in that because I think, when people often ask me, what are some of the main lessons that you learned from going through a trial like that? I always say, number one is the importance of being still, because we live in a society where we're constantly rushing around and there's so much to get done. There's constantly that to-do list. And people almost feel a sense of urgency just to be busy. And so this was really a time for me to that I was forcibly made to be still, and it was hard. It was very hard for me because
Totally.
I'm a goer, I'm a doer, and so it was a time that I had to sit outside and watch the birds, because I physically couldn't do anything else. I had to relinquish control over being able to take care of my children and ask for help. I think that's really hard, I think, especially for women to do, is to ask for help. So being still was just so important. And one of the verses that I just really relied on was Exodus 14, 14, where it says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
Come on. Woo, I just got goosebumps. Say it again. Say it again. Say
Yes.
it again.
The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So that's what I really had to lean on and just trust, because my spirit, you had asked, how was my spirit in going through all this? And it was strong, but because I trusted in the Lord, I knew that He would walk me through this and He would not leave my side. But I was weary. I was so weary. And so there were times when I felt like I knew I needed to pray or wanted to pray, but I just physically couldn't. Like, even my mind was just felt like mush and from the chemo, and I couldn't even pray. And so there were so many times when I just would lay in my bed and just say, "Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus." And I could just say those few words. Or I would just rely on my friends to pray for me. And I think it was very much a Moses moment with Aaron and Hur holding up his hands, because he got so tired, in the battle, praying over this battle. And with the story in the Bible that their side would win if he was holding up his hands to the Lord, but they would start losing if he would lose it or lower his hands. And so he brought his friends and family around to literally lift up and hold his hands up,
Because he got physically tired.
because he got physically tired. And so I think that's just a really important lesson to learn, and to adapt that to us too, that there are going to be times when we're spiritually exhausted, but we can allow people to come in and lift up our hands and pray for us, help us out in practical ways, and just really lean on your community around you.
So good. As you were talking, like that is so good. And again, I want to iterate, like no matter what circumstance people are going through, because the spirit, we might even be strong in spirit, but just weary in the flesh. Like we just don't have the capacity anymore. Maybe you're mentally weary, emotionally weary, you just don't have anything. As you were talking, it was like, and I'm not saying the exact verse, but it reminds me that like your Father knows exactly what you need. He knows how to get it to you. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf, even when you don't know what to pray for. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in. And so, because he knows we're gonna be tired. We're gonna run out of our own juice. And he's gonna bring the people around. I think he's gonna bring the people around if we're willing, if we're open, because it is a humbling experience. You know, whether you're going through the breakdown of a business right now that was a huge piece of your identity, or the breakdown of your health, or maybe even the breakdown of a marriage. You know, some of us want to hide. We don't want people to see us in that state. I mean, I can imagine, right? Your hair has fallen out. You can't do all the things. You're a gorgeous woman. You've always been gorgeous, but you're so much more than your outer shell. But there's so much emphasis we place on the outer shell, or the outer persona, or the outer strength. And to be sitting there is such a raw, humbling moment. And I haven't gone through it in my health. I've gone through it in business and the divorce and other things. And so I remember it was like, I think the moment that God really came in was that, okay, I surrender. I'm like, take me, like, I need help, you know, help me, Jesus. That moment of Jesus, take the wheel. And so I love that. I am beyond excited to share that Drop the Armor is officially available for pre-order. And today I have a free gift for my listeners. You can get instant access to the first two chapters by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593. That's text the word DROP IT, one word, to 844-974-4593. If you have been fighting battles your whole life and you're ready to step into a whole new playing field, if you've been longing for a life of ultimate freedom, deeper faith, and greater purpose, you guys, this book was written for you. It is a blueprint to upgrade your battle strategies. It is a journey to get out of your head and into your heart. and really a pathway to uplevel every area of your life as you learn to lead, love, and fight different. Get your copy today by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593, or you can visit thechristinejewel.com/drop it. And you're such a beautiful story. So you came from like a background of performance. You come from a dance background, a fashion background, right? All mm-hmm. of these things. Yeah. Also, you have an awesome story about having the total reconstruction and then making a decision to go and pull back on that. Talk to us about that piece of the journey. Cause again, like I really want to say we sometimes get so hung up still on our image.
Yes, it is. It's a big issue. And that's, you know, God started to kind of pull that out of me a little bit in the beginning when I first lost my hair. And he started showing me that, hey, you know, you've got a little bit of pride there that mm-hmm. might need to be addressed as it relates to just our image and my image. And, you know, like you said, I grew up dancing. I was a professional dancer. And so I lived in front of mirrors for many, many years of my yeah. life, and always looking at myself and being concerned that, you know, my body was making the right moves or the right lines, and always being critiqued by teachers, you know, constructive criticism, of course, yeah, most of yeah. the time, but that's just, that was just the environment yeah. that I was in, and the dance world is that way. And, totally. And so it, I think it kind of rooted a little bit of just concern about my image and how I looked yeah. and how I perceived myself from the outside. So it started with the chemo, but then, like you said, after I had been cleared of cancer, it was about 4 years after that, and I started having these strange symptoms and things I couldn't really put my finger on, very ambiguous things like brain fog, my hair was falling out, I had wow. heart palpitations, dizziness. I'd have some kind of strange joint pain, just things that I mean, it could be anything from menopause yeah. to, yeah. I mean, who knows what. And so, but I just started doing some research and I started praying a lot, because I also believe that if you ask the Lord for answers to questions, even about your health, yes. About anything, he will provide. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some research, asking a lot of other women who I knew had gone through similar journeys as I had, and pretty much self-diagnosed myself with breast implant illness. Wow. And I actually had a functional medicine doctor at the time who's wonderful, still have him. And he ran some tests and saw that I had some high levels of heavy metals in my system that were all potentially related to breast implants. And so that was kind of the nail in the coffin for me, like, okay, this is it. These need to be removed. And so I made the decision to do that, and I'm so thankful I did, because when I had them removed, the doctor who performed the surgery found that one of them was grossly ruptured. Oh. And I had no idea, no clue that was wow. that had happened or when it had happened. She said it had probably been single digit years that way, which is quite a while. So I just was so thankful, because I thought, here, God has saved my life, not once. But not twice.
He has a plan for you. He has something he wants you to do.
Yeah. Yes. So, but with that, you know, so yes, I came out with this joyfulness of, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm free of this. But what it left me with was what's called an aesthetic flap closure, is what the doctor mm-hmm. Had to perform, and which essentially means that anything that looks like a breast is completely removed. And I have 2 8-inch scars that run across my entire chest. So my front looks like my back with mm-hmm. just a big scar. And so I think as a woman, that can be hard, because, you know, I think it's very much of our femininity.
Totally.
And, you know, although I know that it doesn't define who I am at all, and I feel very confident in who I am and who God says I am, but it's still something that you have to deal with, I think, as a woman, totally. To be essentially, is what society would say, disfigured. And so there's so many thoughts that go through your head mm-hmm. at that moment. You're thinking, you know, how am I going to find clothes that fit me well?
Right.
Is my husband going to find me attractive anymore?
Right.
I mean, there's so many things. And so I think it took me to a whole different level of awareness of the challenges of body image that not only myself, but I think many women and men
Yes.
face right now.
Yeah. So true. It's so true. And he has a powerful message for you, and you're out here delivering it. And there's just so much beauty that exudes from you. And I love it. I mean, you do. You exude a beauty and a confidence and a radiance. And you have not been, I mean, nobody knows your story or your path or everything that you went through, but it's so beautiful to see you out front shining in the light of his glory, shining beautifully. And it's not because of your breasts or the size of your breasts or the size of whatever. And your message of every challenge is really an opportunity to grow and turn our mess into our masterpiece is so beautiful. So, if I was to ask Jamie, because I think now you've been through this, having to sort of sacrifice or give up this thing that many people in our world view as feminine, or gosh, there's so much distortion around sexuality and body parts and stuff like that. But what would you define femininity as? God ordained, God-given femininity.
Yes, I think it's really that Proverbs 31 woman, and having just grace, strength and grace, I think is what I believe is femininity. And
Okay.
because every, so every woman is so different, and everyone woman has different personality. Some are very, quiet and have a calm spirit. Some are very dynamic. So I think to find a term that describes femininity to that completely encompasses all different types of women, to really step into the person that God has made them to be, I think just having having that strength and grace and that and loving the Lord is really
Yeah.
what I think will show you really true who your true what your true identity is found in, and I think that's a really important piece as it relates to body image, because I think if you don't know who you are, you'll focus on what you are.
Oh, come
So,
on. Yes, if you don't know who you are, you're going to focus on what you are, or
yes,
what you have, or what you
right,
don't have, or
yes,
what other people say you are. So
yes.
it's so true. We did a whole, you guys, if you're listening and go back, there's a whole identity series we did on this podcast about the lies of the enemy, everything that you're not and who you actually are. And it reminds me that there's this beautiful love letter. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Have you seen that love letter of who you are? And it's like all these verses compiled into a love letter from God. It's so
That's
beautiful.
great.
It's so great. We'll put the link in the show notes. It's also in the book, you guys, Drop the Armor. But Jamie, talk to us about your work, your book. I have two words for you.
So this was
Tell
a
us
book.
about the book.
I've always enjoyed writing. It was just something I enjoyed doing just recreationally, I guess, in college. But it sort of set it down. And when I went through this initial diagnosis, I remember having a very distinct conversation with the Lord. And when it was very early, it was before I'd really shared with anyone that I had been diagnosed. And I remember asking him, I said, "Do you want me to be private about this, or is this something that I need to be very public about?" Because I really honestly didn't know. And he very clearly showed me that that I needed to be open about it and to share it. And it was a little nerve-wracking because, I mean, it's very personal
It's very
and very
personal.
personal, and it involves your family and my husband and my kids. And but I put it out there. I started putting it out there just on Facebook because, where else? Facebook, right? And I was shocked at the amount of just feedback I was getting, really positive things, and not just, "Oh, yay, you're doing great, be strong," but it was, "Thank you for sharing this. I'm going through something really difficult right now too, and what you've said has really helped me." And it was overwhelming. And so that right there planted a seed. And then after I kind of made it through the majority of that journey, I had so many women reaching out to me who had either just been diagnosed themselves or knew someone who had been diagnosed, and they all had a lot of the same questions. And I just kept thinking, I wish I could put what's in here in my head and what I've experienced and put it in something that I could just hand to you. And then also, and most importantly, show how God walked me through that time to be an example for someone else to possibly, to lean on him as well. And so I just felt like, okay, I got to write a book. And so that's what happened. And Stacey Wallace helped me with that, which was
Nice.
wonderful. So helped me
Nice.
get that published. And yeah, it's been a not only a good thing for me to be able to process a lot of those emotions and a lot of those memories, but then to really feel like God is really taking all things and using them for his good,
Yes.
because I wasn't going to let the enemy get the last say. And so this book has really been a way to do that, to really give God glory and then to help other women. And actually, I've had some men read it as well and say that it
That's
has been
awesome.
helpful. They've been going through a financial crisis, and it's all really the same
Yeah.
concepts of just
Yeah,
going through a trial.
totally. It is. It's just whatever you're going through, it looks different. It has a different outfit, but I love that because when when the Holy Spirit says, okay, now put it on paper. I went through this similar thing of just,
Yes.
and it was embarrassing. The things that we went through, like some of them I didn't want everyone to know, or some of them was like, I don't want to offend anybody, right? This to your point, but he has such a graceful way of working it, getting it to us and through us. And I love it. And this is, I think how we spread the healing across the globe. It's just we share our stories, we put them out there, we give other people permission to bring their stories out of the darkness, right? And a lot
Yes.
of that shame and just we become that word that sometimes people need spoken into them, like that woman that was in the room that just said, "Hey, can I pray for you right now?" It's like we are sometimes that voice, and so it's beautiful. So, what are the two words? I have two words for you. I'm like, I know everyone's like, "What are the two words?"
Wants to know, I gotta read the book. Oh no, I can obviously share. It's trust him. It's
Yeah.
really, it's very simple. And I think that's why it's and that theme really is just woven through the book. It's just
Yes.
no matter what you're going through, you just trust him, whether it's
Yes.
a difficulty with your kids or a family issue or a health diagnosis, whatever it might be, just putting your trust in Jesus and knowing that he will help you and will be faithful, going through whatever it is. And I think the other thing when you were talking about, sharing your story, what I wanted to mention is one of the struggles that I went through before I let the book out into the world, because like you said, it's scary to put some of
Yeah.
these personal things out there and you all
I've
these,
gone through it. I'm going through it right
right?
now. I'm going through
Yeah,
it
it's scary. And I remember I was having a moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And
right now.
then it was like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks, and he impressed upon my heart. He said, well, first of all, you're making it all about you, and
Right?
it's a pride
Yes.
thing, and you're worried about what people are going to think about you. And he said, it's not your story, it's mine. And if they
Yes.
don't like your book, then they can take it up with me. And I just it released me.
So much,
It completely released me
so
from
much.
that pressure and that ego, and just said, okay, it's not my story, it's yours, Lord. And if they have an issue with it, you can handle it. And it
So good,
totally freed
so
me.
good. And I had a similar moment, and I love that. And I want to share because it's amazing how our pride sneaks in there, whether we're trying to save a business or we want to lead a team. And when it starts to feel heavy, and it starts to feel like, oh my gosh, I have to do this all alone. And what will people say? And I remember when I sent out the book excerpts for endorsements. And I got the first round of endorsements in. And I was so excited. And I was going through this walk around my neighborhood. And I was like, oh God, thank you. Like, this is so awesome. Like, you are supporting me. And I thank you for the confirmation and the affirmation. And it's like, yes. And he's like, let me remind you, I'm not supporting you. I'm inviting you.
Yes.
I'm going. I'm doing a thing. You get to be part of it. So I'm already gone before you. And it's the
Yes.
same thing, is that it's his message, it's his business, it's his children. They're his people that, yes, they're our employees, but they're his people. And so I think this can really be so liberating once if we get it that we don't have to carry it all ourselves, but also like, let's not give ourselves too much credit. Like, yes, we want to give credit. And also notice, like, where am I making it about me? And I can totally relate to that. Also, where I was like, oh, I don't want people to think this, or are people going to challenge my theology or whatever? And it's like, it doesn't really matter. It was your experience. You're a storyteller in the process. You're sharing your journey. You're bringing people along. We do our part, we let God provide the rest, right? And it's like
Right.
such a powerful message. I'm glad you brought that up. So, I'm curious, are you leading differently on the other side of this experience? Because I know it definitely, like, my experience was nothing like yours, but it rattled me. And I'm a different woman on the other side. So, what also captivated me was hearing. When we met, was just hearing how you and your husband, and through the dealerships and the nonprofit work that you're doing, like you're really using even a very, very profitable corporate businesses to glorify God, to really give back to the community. You've got the nonprofit thing going. Like, were you always doing this, or is this like amplified after this experience? Like, are you leading differently on the other side, or how did that change, or affect you guys?
Right. I think so. You mentioned my husband. My husband has a family business. He's fifth generation with his two brothers in an auto dealership group. And so he's the president and CEO of that organization. And he's also in recovery from drugs and alcohol addiction. He's 18, yeah, about 18 years sober, I believe.
Wow, okay.
And so, and then we lost his mother tragically. She battled with alcoholism as well. We lost her right after we were married about 16 and a half years ago. So there's a lot of history of going through difficult stuff, difficult things in our lives. And so where the nonprofit piece came out of was really through my husband's sobriety and just the pain of losing his mother. And just
Yes.
knowing, just God just put a calling on our lives to help other women who are going through something similar and going through and dealing with addictions. And so that was really where the heartbeat came from
Yes.
to get this nonprofit going. And but yes, and to answer your question, do we lead differently? Absolutely, because I think when you go through a difficult season, it gives you more empathy for other people who are struggling. You can relate to what they're
Yes.
going through. And I always say pain is pain, whether it's a cancer diagnosis or a death in the family or an addiction. People experience pain. It's just what the cause of that is different.
Yeah.
But there's trauma in everyone's life in some form or fashion. And so I think going through these difficult things ourselves has made us more empathetic leaders. It's really helped us to relate to other people and their struggles. And it's really opened up just more opportunities to use what God has given us to steward it well for
Yes.
His kingdom and for His glory.
Yes. I love it. I just wrote that down. You guys really are breaking generational curses and patterns, even with the addiction recovery, right? If you think about, okay, one generation lost their life, and we say, okay, not on my watch, not in this lifetime, not with me, not with my kids. It ends with us. And we take authority back over our marriage, the future generations. And now we're taking that pain of the past, the loss of the past, and we're actually creating a ripple effect, the legacy of healing. Like, that's literally what it means to break chains and set things right, and I think the only way we can really do that is through the equipping and the empowerment of the spirit. And you said, like, it was born out of our own pain and loss. And the question is really, are we going to recycle and now use the same old things to numb ourselves and just carry on that legacy of pain? Or are we going to carry on the legacy of healing? So beautiful. It's so good. Okay, so the organization is called Adult and Teen Challenge of Western Wisconsin. What is it? What Tell us a little bit more about that. What is that organization exactly?
Yes, so it's actually a national, well, actually a global organization. It's been
Okay.
around since the 1960s. It was founded by a pastor named David Wilkerson back in the 1960s, and he traveled to New York City to help out some young gang members who were convicted of murder, actually. And when he got there, he realized there were all these teens that were struggling with addictions and trauma and just really needed Jesus. And so he set up the very first at the time it was called Teen Challenge, and it was a
Okay.
home in New York. And it just grew from there. And so now it's a
Okay.
national organization. There's ours is Adult and Teen Challenge. So we actually just serve adult women 18 and over, but there's men's centers, there's women's centers,
Oh,
there's women and
nice.
children's centers. So there's teen centers all over the country. And so we founded our
Wisconsin.
center, yeah, the Western
Okay.
Wisconsin Center. It opened in 2019, in November of 2019. We'd been planning it for years before, but by the time we actually got our doors open, it was in 2019. And we have had over 100 women come through our center. It's a
Wow.
year-long program, so we really believe in the length of stay is important for true healing, really getting at the root cause of the trauma, why they're turning to these addictive patterns. And then we always say the secret sauce is Jesus. It's a faith-based
Yes.
organization, so we are preaching the word, we're helping them find healing and forgiveness and just wholeness through the Lord. And it's just so beautiful to see these lives changed. I just had a board meeting this morning, and we always get to have a testimony of one of our clients come in and share at the board meeting. And she's graduating from the 12-month program on in about a week, 2 weeks, about 2 weeks.
So
And
good.
I mean, she's come out of prison, extreme trauma, and just to see where her life is now is just beautiful. And that's Jesus. So we just
So
get to be
good.
a we can just get a front row seat to watch him do his miracles. So it's
Right? Talk about purpose and fulfillment, right?
great.
Like it's so good. And you guys have successful business and you have all the earthly things and the financial success. I can see it in you. It's like the real joy comes from seeing these lives transformed, and it's so beautiful. So they're in this residential treatment facility program. They're living on site for a whole year to do rehab, and it's a holistic approach. It's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual roots, faith-based. And then when they come out of the 12-month program, then they're reintegrated into the workplace, or are they starting to do that already while they're in there?
Yeah, so we have a program, we call it our aftercare program. So there's
Okay.
a wing of our building that is specifically for aftercare. And these are for women who have graduated the 12-month program. They can
Okay.
then live in aftercare I mean, it's kind of a case-by-case basis. All we require is a very minimal rent. They have to be connected to a church, a home church, and have a job. And those are all things we help them with. And
Beautiful.
what we've found is that if you just let them go out into the world, it's like kicking a baby bird out of the nest without their
Yes.
wings. It's
Yes.
scary out there. It's dangerous. There's a lot of temptations that if they don't have that safe place to come home to, then they just need to build kind of their sea leg or their land legs essentially,
Yeah,
and get
yeah.
stronger in who they are. And then we also have them connected to our current clients who are in the program. So they're required to have a meal with our current clients at least, I think it's once a week, so that they see that peer-to-peer support and they see, hey, she made it. Now she's working and she's succeeding and learning how to do a budget and all of these
Huge.
things. And so it helps really support the current clients who are in the program. So that's kind of that next step once they
So
graduate.
good. So good. And it also gives them so much purpose being in that space of like, now I get to mentor. I get to be, because that itself does wonders, right? Now all of a sudden I have a purpose. I'm showing somebody else what's possible, and I'm the source of inspiration. Like, what? That is so beautiful. As you were talking, I just wrote down grace and structure, because there's so much grace in the process and there's the structure to support people. It just made me think about sometimes we have situations in our life. Maybe we're trying to help people in our lives heal, rehabilitate. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of addiction. My father's still, 80 years old and still under the claws of it. And there's a lot of damage that can get done. And sometimes we're trying to be the ones to save the people in our family and bring them along. And really, when you can find, whether it's in the community or wherever, that there's a place where they can go, where there's people to support them, and there's grace and there's structure. It's so important. And what I really like about it too is that you didn't have to create this just on your own. There's an organization, and you basically opened a branch, right? It's kind of like a franchise, basically. I mean, it's not a
Pretty
franchise, I guess, if it's a
kind of
nonprofit.
right, kind of sort of. We had to have our own 501c3, and we did all of the hiring of our executive director and all the
Beautiful.
staff. The national organization supports us with just if we have any, you know, certain questions and things. So we're so grateful for our staff. They've really just built it. So it's nice. You can kind of have your own autonomy, and have your own culture and really make it your own, which is great. So we've been grateful for that. But yeah, just the importance of when someone comes in, our first thing is you just love them. We just love them well. And oftentimes they're very skeptical of that because they've never been loved in a
They
healthy
don't know.
way.
They don't know how to be
They don't
loved.
know. Right. But we just bring them in. We love them. We give them, like you said, grace with the structure. That's perfect. That describes it beautifully. And then we also have a policy that we never turn anyone away with because of the inability to pay. It's a nonprofit, so obviously if they can contribute something to it, great. But if they can't, which the majority, I would say like 99%, have nothing, and that's why, you know, our job is to fundraise and to be able to support the program so that there are no barriers for someone to be able to come in and get the help that they need.
So good. So good. Well, we're going to put the link to that in the show notes. And what you said is so powerful. And I think it's actually a really good place to land is that in the beginning, we just love them. I was going for a walk the other day. I was in the garden. I was actually just walking in the garden there. And I was like, I just really felt Jesus saying, like, you don't understand. You still don't even understand how powerful love is. Like just loving someone. Like it does the work. You don't have to do all the work, right? Sometimes we're trying to, okay, I'm gonna love all my people, and we have to do like the million other things, and we're like running around and like we want to love them, but we're stressing about everything else. But if we can really drop in and just pour love into people, it's like his power begins to, that power of love begins to move things. And yes, you still have structure, but in the beginning, and also what you said is huge because I've heard that so many times. And I went through this actually. It's like nobody ever taught you how to be loved. Like, what is that? It feels uncomfortable. It feels wrong because, you know, what's familiar maybe is abuse or verbal lashings or being abandoned or rejected or whatever it is. And so I think a lot of us actually, more than we recognize, and you don't need to be an addict, it's like a lot of us could benefit from learning how to really be loved, to be lavished on with love. And you know, there's not a lot of people or place, there are lots of people or places actually, I don't want to speak that, but getting in the right communities where that's the norm and not the exception.
Correct.
Because there are communities where that's the norm and not the exception. I'm glad I caught myself on that because I almost said there's not a lot of people out there, but that's a lie. There are a lot of people. We're just been going and hanging out in the wrong places. And there are communities and churches and groups and organizations and just beautiful people out there that know how to give love and know how to receive love. So if you
Right.
guys are listening, get and here's it. You don't have to go chase it. All it is like you saying, God, yes, I'm ready for that experience. I'm willing. I'm open. Send it to me. And then release how he does it.
Yes, that's great. So
Right?
true. Yes.
Okay. As we wrap, so much goodness. And I feel like there's so many more things I want to ask you too, but for the sake of time, if you were to drop in, and maybe you've already told us this, if you could just drop in and into people's psyche, into their like way of thinking, a new mental program that they could just take from this moment on, and it would just be their way of thinking. What is the thing that you wish that everybody could just believe or think from this moment on?
Yes. Oh, that's a great question. I think if everyone could just believe that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that, you know, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. I think that would solve this, you know, question. Everyone's always trying to find their purpose. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? What am I, why am I here? Why I'm on this earth. And so I think if everyone could just grasp that and change their thinking to know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that they are not a mistake, that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives, even through trials and difficulties, that those are just opportunities for God to lavish his love on them, and to just soak up those moments in ways that you would not experience had you not gone through a difficult time. I think that's what I would just encourage people to believe.
That is so beautiful. I was just writing that out again. We know that's the verse, and this is why we have to speak the word of God over our life. And that is a compilation. But you are God's handiwork. You are fearlessly and wonderfully made, prepared in advance for the good works he has prepared for you. And so, whatever you're going through is just, it doesn't make sense in our own eyes in that moment. But he's like, I know what I'm doing. I know
Yes.
what I'm doing. And in the
Yes.
end, this is going to be so good. I heard somebody
Yes.
say, if it's not good, he's not done yet.
Yes, I love
If
that.
it's not good, he's not done yet.
Yes, and he's always renewing, and I think that's kind of a season that I'm in now, is he's always renewing things and giving you a new wineskin for new wine, and
So true.
just creating newness in you. So I think being open to that too, being open to that transformation of this is an old season, I'm getting you ready for a new one, and being willing to make that transition, I think is important, and being open to that. So,
So good. So good. All right. Well, it was such a beautiful conversation. Jamie, how can people connect with you if they want to follow you or learn more about the organization, what you're up to, what you're working on?
yeah, thank you. Well, I'm on Instagram, and it's just jamie.dahlia, like the flower,
Okay.
is Instagram. And then I also have a website, and this one's pretty easy. It's just jamiedahl.com. And
Okay.
I like to blog on there, and obviously people can connect with me through the website as well.
So beautiful. I love it. I'm gonna have to have you come talk to our women's group.
Yeah, sounds great.
So good. I love it. Okay, well, thank you for being here. And again, I think this message was so awesome. I know that so many people need to hear this. So if this inspired you, moved you, like pierced your heart in any way, just take a minute right now and just ask, Lord, who is on my heart that you want me to share this message with? Share the link to this episode, pass it on, because this is how we spread the word. We spread stories, we share the good news, we share these messages of healing with other people. I want to encourage you to make sure that you drop down into the comment below. We're going to have a link to Jamie's book, to the organization, how you can connect with her. And before you go, I want to remind you guys also that Drop the Armor is dropping June 3rd. So if you are listening to this and you don't have your book yet, make sure that you guys grab that on pre-order, because we have about $200 in bonuses that are going out the week of launch with that. So there are so many good things to help support you guys in the journey. Thank you for being here. We will see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute right now to subscribe and review. Your 5-star review goes so far in getting this message into the ears and hearts of the people who need to receive it. Thank you again for being part of this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed, and prosperous day.